The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
You cannot buy yourself out of obeying God. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time. Our text comes from the 7th chapter of this wonderful Gospel of Mark, and I shall read to you the first 13 verses of this book. Now, I give you notice that this will be a difficult passage for you to understand, but we'll get a lot out of it once we get done with it. So here it comes. Then came unto him, that is unto Jesus, the Pharisees, and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when he saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they washed their hands often, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash their hands, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, Well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, they hold the tradition of men as washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curses father or mother, it is corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father and his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. The first time, my friend, I read this passage, I did not understand a good part of it, and perhaps you have the same problem. Apparently, Jesus wants us to understand it, or he would not have put it in the Bible, so we have to make an effort to understand it. Some people say, I don't read the Bible, it's too hard to understand. Well, that's no excuse, my friend. Your whole destiny is explained in this Bible. The Bible tells you where you will spend eternity, whether it will be in heaven or hell. And if you can figure out where you will end up in eternity by yourself, then get a lawyer. Pay him $100 or $1,000 or $10,000, whatever you can, or get a theologian and sell your home and sell your car and get the money together to get somebody, pay somebody if necessary to help you understand the Bible, to have it explained to you, because the Bible tells you where you will spend forever and ever in heaven or in hell. Don't leave this matter up to your imagination or guesswork or wishful thinking. There's no book in the whole world that tells you where you will spend eternity except this book. Oh, what a fool a man is who says the Bible is too hard to understand, so I'll just forget about it. My friend, this Bible tells you whether you are on death row or whether you are on life's row. And the marvel of this book is that if you find yourself on death row, it tells you how to get off death row onto life's row. And fortunately, you don't have to hire a lawyer or a theologian and pay them hundreds and thousands of dollars. You can ask a sanctified holy mother or grandfather, or go to church week after week to listen to the true man of God and have him explain the book to you free of charge. Now, another excuse that people use for not reading their Bibles is this. They say, Oh, Pastor, there are so many interpretations. How do you know which is right? Friend, you ask this person, Have you read all these interpretations you're talking about? And the answer is no. Well, my dear one, I have read most all of them. I have them on my computer Bible program, and I can put on a text and push a key and 8 interpretations of the Bible of a particular verse will all come up on the same page, and I can compare them with one look. So I have some good news for you, my dear friend. If you say there are so many interpretations, how do you know which one is right? My answer is all of them. All of them say the same thing and give you the same truth. Isn't it wonderful? All translations say the same thing about salvation, about divorce, about remarriage, about tithing, about adultery, about church, about heaven, about hell, about anything and everything, because they all, there's only two exceptions I know, were taken from the same Greek text. And the ones who were not taken from the Greek text, they're still accurate. So they still say the same thing as the other ones. Whatever difference there is, my friend, does not amount to what we call a hill of beans. The only ones who say there are so many interpretations, how do you know which is right, are the ones who have not read all these interpretations to find out. They all say the same story about how man is a sinner and how God sent Jesus from heaven to come to earth to save man from his sins, and how if we believe in Jesus and become his disciples, we shall live with him forever and ever. Of course, there have been attempts by a few really wicked people to change the Bible, but these are not interpretations, my friend. These are reinventions, or shall we say corruptions, of the text. So I don't want you to excuse yourself from reading the Bible, because it is difficult at times. It is dangerous, extremely dangerous, for you not to find out what the Bible says. And secondly, I don't want you to have the excuse that all interpretations of the Bible tell you something different. That is not so. They all tell the same story. Now let me take the remainder of these moments to get into our text. Verse 1 and 2, "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem, and they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled," that is to say, with unwashing hands, "they found fault." We're now at the point where scribes and Pharisees went out to destroy Jesus, because Jesus was not following their line of thinking. Jesus was not following their traditions, and they could not control Jesus. They could not bring him into their institutional system, and because the whole world went after him, there was hardly anybody left to go after them. And so they were full of jealousy. So what happened is that the common people found what Jesus had to offer was far better than what the scribes and Pharisees had to offer. And so these scribes and Pharisees decided to kill Jesus. And this is why they traveled all the way from Jerusalem to come to the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus fed the 5,000 men, to find fault with him and with his disciples. And the issue they brought up this time was the washing of hands before you eat. That is to say, specifically, the way by which you wash your hands before you eat had to be their way, the Pharisees' way, the way of the elders, the way of tradition. You see, according to them, you could not just wash your hands by rubbing them under the faucet. But by their tradition, how you wash your hands is that you wash them all the way up to the elbows. And while you are washing your right hand, your right lower arm, with your left hand, you have to make a fist with your right hand, and so conversely. Don't you understand that? That's the only way you can satisfy the tradition of the elders, and if you're not doing it exactly their way, you, for all practical religious purposes, you have not washed your hands at all, and you eat your food with defiled hands. To this Jesus answered in verse 6, "Well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching that for doctrines the commandments of men.'" For laying aside the commandment of God, they hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things they do. Now at this time, there were traditions which were primarily oral traditions passed on by word of mouth from generation to generation, and they had become so embedded in the minds and hearts of men throughout time that they actually became more of a religion than the writing of Moses. These traditions, in other words, became a religion in themselves. And if you would not do that which these traditions require, then you are not religious and you are not obeying God. You are not honoring the Pharisees and the elders. Well, that's like our traditions, is it not? Don't we have our own traditions for which there is no biblical basis or very little of it? Like Christmas with a Christmas tree, like Thanksgiving celebration, like Father's Day and Mother's Day, and the unspoken requirement of everybody being at anybody's wedding in the family or birthday party or graduation, if in any way possible. And if we do not do these things, we are just not good citizens or good people or good Christians. By this passage, Jesus tries to clean up the system and set the record straight by saying, you, by following your traditions, have come to reject the commandment of God. You are more interested in following your traditions, the traditions you have made a religion of, than you're willing to obey God. When you read the scriptures, you find Jesus clashing here and there with traditions. Jesus, for example, said to one man, follow me. And the man said, I will, but let me first bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. That's a clash with tradition. Forget about tradition, Jesus said. When I speak, when I call you, forget about what you want to do and what tradition and family expectations are. There are millions of Christians who have lost a blessing because when Jesus called them to follow him, to be at prayer meeting, to be in revival services, to be in church services, or to go to the mission field, they have been kept from it through birthday parties and funerals and weddings and family reunions and personal plans and agendas, traditions. We cannot be Jesus' disciples if we put traditions above Jesus' call to discipleship. Jesus calls all of those who follow traditions above obeying God hypocrites. A hypocrite is a play actor whose heart is far from what he says from his mouth. So Jesus says to them, but ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. What does it mean? Well, here's the meaning of it. The word Corban means gift. The tradition of the elders had come to allow this. If you bring a gift, presumably a good-sized gift of money, to the temple as an offering to God, you could, by doing so, by your way, out of any further obligation towards your father and your mother, so that you have canceled out all their demands and requests from you. In other words, you can buy yourself out of the fifth commandment by simply bringing gifts to the altar and say, Corban. Now, this boils down to this. Jesus saying to the Pharisees, you have rejected Moses' law, which is honor your father and mother, by following your man-made traditions. Oh, my friends, how wicked traditions can become. How often does a pastor hear people say, well, I can't be at a revival service. I know God's there. I know God has sent a man of God to this church, to everyone in this church. God has a message for my heart. I know that. But I believe I need to be at a basketball game or a birthday party tonight. And so we put a good offering in the offering plate, and we believe by doing so we can buy our way out of obeying God and doing what he wants us to do. Oh, my friend, let me ask you, are we better than the Pharisees and scribes if we excuse ourselves in such a way? So beware. Beware that you will not fall into the same trap as the scribes and Pharisees did, for if you do, you will have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. So in closing, read your Bible, even if it's difficult, and if you need help, ask someone to explain it to you. And don't excuse yourself by saying there are so many different interpretations. They all say the same thing. And then don't let your traditions kill your spiritual relationship with Jesus. Thank you for listening again to the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now. Until next week.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.